Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Was to play, but I guess obviously.
What up, it's your boy Slow Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen. In the world full of followers, be proud to be different. Be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women. Everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. We got a hell of a show for you tonight. You know, when you think about the sweet science, a lot of women don't come to thought or apparition in most of our minds, but we're changing that on our show. We're gonna add more and more women to the sweet sciences. I usually do my Legends in Boxing on Thursday, but this young lady is creating superstardom. She's becoming a legend in her own right. With that being said, I would like to welcome the WBF Intercontinental Super Bantamweight Champion, Kylie Fulmer. Kylie, how are you doing this evening?
How you doing? Well, thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Oh, it's a blessing, and I'm truly humbled. You know, Kylie, when you look at life and all the aspects that led you to the sport, you know, there's people that truly have stood by our sides, helped create us, whispered the words of intent that we truly needed in certain aspects of life, or ones that are pushing us forward to strive for that much more greatness that we don't even see in ourselves. So I kind of want to start today's show off with asking you, who are those people in your life that have created you, made you, the ones that, like I said, pushed you and whispered the words of intent while they stood by your side?
That's a great question, Don. You know, I think we go through life and you really, the older you get, the more you realize that you've only really got a special handful in your life that are there unconditional. You might have thousands of friends on Instagram, but at the end of the day, there is only that little handful, and my special handful, number one on that, is my dad. He's my not only my dad, but my best mate. You know, he's been with me on my journey from day one. You know, the days you've had the ups and downs with anything, not just boxing, but life in general, he's been the one that's been by my side and can tell through that smile or the voice, you know, where you're really at. And my mum too, of course, but, you know, I've had many coaches come in and out of my life with other sports and boxing, but one of the biggest ones, I would say, that the last few years especially, is Coach Dewey Cooper and Big David and my team. You know, it's like you just get to a point where, you know, he's not only a coach, but they become family, and it really is an unconditional bond that no one can ever take away.
Yeah. You know, I have to agree with you there, you know, and my dealings with a lot of the sport over the last 24 years as a photographer and 16 years as a journalist, I've never met anybody like Dewey Cooper, you know, and I just don't say that. Dewey, I've watched, like, Rocky Marzan, Christine Ferrier. I've watched other fighters too, you know, get to know him, train underneath of him, and then you see this 360 aspect that is added to them. They grow and they understand the sport. You know, through your talks with Dewey Cooper and your relationship with Dewey Cooper and the others that correlated into your life and the creation of you, you know, what is it about Dewey Cooper that has you calling him family, you know, calling him blood? Because there's a bond there that can't be broken.
It is. It really is. I think, you know, lots of people come in and out of your life and, you know, they make impacts, good and bad, mostly, you know, hopefully for good. But, you know, I think the thing Dewey's helped me with mostly in my career, the last two and a half years especially, is he hasn't only helped me as a fighter, but as a physical fighter, but more importantly, it's the mental and the spiritual side. If you can put those three things together, it can really be life-changing inside and out of the ring. You know, things I was struggling with, and a lot of people do, you know, is self-belief is a you know, if we can only, we're really our own hardest opponent, not only in the ring, but outside as well. And Dewey's helped me overcome a lot of things that I'll take away for life, you know, and I do apply that to life every day with what he's taught me, you know, just in the gym. So, yeah, it's priceless, really.
Yeah, there's things in life that money can't buy. You know, I'm kind of intrigued, and I hope you don't mind. You know, what was it early in your life as a young girl? I don't know if you lived your whole life in Australia, but mm-hmm. what was it that led you down the path to sports, to wanting to compete, to ultimately becoming a world champion? What was it that instilled that initial drive, that initial motivation? What created Kylie Fulmer?
You know, as a young kid, I was always into sport. It didn't matter what it was. I think I've basically tried every sport you can imagine. And my mum and dad, they got my sisters and I into swimming. I was a really bad asthmatic, a brittle asthmatic, and they got us in the pool. Most Aussie kids, you know, you're born and you're thrown in the water straight away. I started swimming, learned to swim when I was 5 years old, and pretty much got straight into club swimming at six and a half. And mum and dad, being the awesome parents they are, they dedicated right up from six to 16, taking us to swimming every morning at 5 a.m. You know, we'd get up at 5 and be at the pool by 6, and you'd be finished by 7:30 and off to school, and we'd be straight back in the water at 5 p.m., ready to do the next session in the afternoon, and spend the weekends driving around the countryside of Australia, you know, competing. So that's how my sporting career started off. And as I went through school, I tried anything from touch football, cricket, hockey, soccer, looking for that sport that I could become great at. I was never good at school. I'll rephrase that. I didn't enjoy school so much. I'd prefer to be out in the gym and you know, out on the football field or something, doing, you know, anything physical possible. And I had a dream as a kid to, all I wanted to do was be an athlete and be an Olympian. You know, the teacher would come around and say, "What do you want to be when you get older?" And I want to go to the Olympics. I want to be an athlete. You know, and I carried that all the way through.
Yeah, well, it's quite evident in your boxing record and just the way you handle yourself on social media and the aspects that I see perplexed on social media about you. You know, defining yourself in life is hard enough. So to be able to define who you are and understand who you are in life, like I said, it's a challenge. And then you add becoming an athlete. You know, how much harder and how much strenuous was it more for you to correlate the aspect of, you know, the sweet science into your everyday life and your journey?
You know, when I found boxing, before I started boxing, I was doing triathlons, and still at that stage where it was a little bit frustrating because I couldn't quite break it to the top of that elite level. And I went, as we all do, you go through things in your life where you feel like, you know, you're just trying to fit in, and what you're trying to do, you're trying to find your identity. I started boxing just for fitness with a group of friends in Australia, and I basically pulled on the gloves and just fell in love with the feeling I got with fighting, and ever since that day I've really been hooked on it. I don't think it's more so, you know, people think you've got to be aggressive to be a fighter. They don't understand that it has nothing to do with it. You know, boxing for me is a tool. It's an art form. And it really is a way to express yourself and what you're feeling. So for me, every day to pull the gloves on, it gives me a purpose. I really have found my passion in life with boxing and fitness, so to speak. And I tell that to people now, you know, it's so important to find your passion and live your purpose. Boxing does that for me. If I get up every day and put them gloves on, it gives me that buzz, and I apply the sweet science of boxing and the mentality to everyday lifestyle. And if you can do that, it's a win. You know, if I don't pull them gloves on, I don't feel right. I'm not in my flow, and things aren't right. So I love boxing. It's not my sport. It's my lifestyle, and it will be for, you know, the day I don't like it, that's when I'll stop. But I know I'll still continue to have that training and the art form in my life always.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing I learned, and I'll kind of pass on to you because I've been around for a minute, you know, we don't decide when they'll leave the sport. The sport decides when to leave us. And trust me, I've tried to leave the sport numerous times and only to find myself back three times deeper than I was before. So it's more than a lifestyle. It's who we are. It's a... It's an aspect that we can't put into words, but each individual that is in our shoes knows the meaning and has the understanding of what we're talking about. You know, I kind of want to take you back just for a moment, you know, back to 11/30/2018, you got an opportunity to fight for the World Boxing Federation Intercontinental Female Super Bantamweight title. You know, what did that moment mean to you, getting that call, and then the event occurs and you come out victorious and the champion? What was the greatest takeaway from you? You know, I can't even speak. You got me all worked up off your last question. But what would you say would be the greatest thought or the greatest takeaway or moment from that night that you'll never forget?
I think we go through life and you sort of, we all set goals for ourselves, and, you know, you have voices of doubt, you have all these things going through your mind. You know, when I originally found boxing, like I said before, I fell in love with the sport, and we're going through things in our life where, you know, I think sometimes we self-sabotage, and we all set goals that are almost unrealistic. And you sort of, we really should set smaller goals to along the way so you can feel like you've had that self-accomplishment and achievement. And when I started boxing, I was at a frustrating point in my life where you're thinking, shit, like, I'm even going to find anything, you know? Am I going to find something that I'm actually good at and where I can break through? And when I did start competing and the feeling of that fight in the ring, I knew I was addicted, and I thought this is awesome. This is what makes my heart light up. I feel lit inside, you know. So I had a few, you know, I think it was 7 fights in a row as an amateur that I lost in a row. And I know at least 5 of those I feel that I won. You know, you win a fight, and you know when you don't win. And it was just getting to the point where I was like, what have I got to do to win? You know, is it me? Like, I don't understand why I'm not winning. And I basically took off with a backpack after a few of those letdowns and thought, that's it, I'm going to have to make my own path. I'm going to walk my own journey and make my own opportunities. And I don't care who I fight or where I fight, I'm just going to get in there and you know, just never say no. Just get in there and fight. And doesn't matter where you are, find a coach and get them to do your corner or whatever. Just keep fighting and keep improving. And I did set a goal to win a world title. And looking back now, I know it was almost an unrealistic goal of, I say almost, you know, of winning a world title. You know, I even had that self-doubt. Like, you know, one side's telling you you're not going to do that, and then the other side's that you can do it. You've just got to work your ass off and go out there and you know, you can make it happen. So that's the mentality I had. And to answer your question, how did it make me feel when I won that? It was like the last 9 years of my life flashed in front of me. And it was the greatest night of my life, not only to win the title, but to have my team behind me, BKSS, like they're my family. I had Christine, Rocky, you know, Big D, Dewey, all there, and everything did flash in front of me. And I thought, holy shit, like I actually achieved this, you know. And it wasn't even about being the fighter or being the boxer or what I accomplished that night as a fighter, but it was about achieving a lifelong goal of becoming the best at something. And just goes to prove, if you do work hard, you can make it happen, but you've got to work your ass off. And the biggest thing is that you have to commit. Commitment's the key, you know. If you're not committed, you can't be half in. You can't play boxing and just win a title. It doesn't happen that way. You just got to go out there and give it all your heart, and that's what I did.
Well, you truly did. And you know what? I kind of want to put it in a strange analogy, you know, because I had Jared Gordon, who was the CFFC world champion in MMA, on my show, mm-hmm. and he just won the title, and he talked about how it wasn't about the belt, why he wanted to be on the show. It was the story behind it. And I think mm-hmm. that's the same with you.
Yeah.
You look at the aspect of you, you talk about your amateur aspects, and you didn't win, but yet you turned pro. And that 0-7 record became a 7-0 record with 6 knockouts. So what, mm-hmm. what you really did was you showed inspiration. You showed the world that whenever you set your mind to something, no matter how far rock bottom you could be, you can always find a way up. But more than that, you can still live your dream. And that's truly what
yep.
you're doing. I mean, you've conquered all aspects of the harsh reality of life. And you came out on top. So let
mm-hmm.
me ask you this. You walk in the gym in the morning. Nobody's around. It's quiet. It's a little dark, because I know with the Sweet Science, most of you guys are in there before it's even light anyway. And
yeah.
you're putting your hand wraps on and you're standing in front of the mirror. And you look in the mirror and you get that brief moment and that reflection of who you are. Who does Kylie Fulmer see?
You know, for years I did struggle with my identity, and you sort of sit back and you think, you know, where is this going? Like, what am I doing? And the coach once said to me, people don't find boxing or fighting. Fighting finds the people that need it. And it's so true. Like, years ago he said it to me and I just sort of went, oh, yeah, like, whatever. But I found myself many times traveling and being random places with a backpack and I might have $20 left in the bank and you're like, shit, what now? Where am I going to get to the next destination, you know? And I really started to understand what he meant by that more every time I thought about it. And it's boxing has given my identity, and I see the person I've become today. I've taken so much out of the ring and applied it to myself, and it's given me strength. I have got self-belief. I've got self, you know, I know I'm worthy of done and earned all of these things that are turning up now that are coming in the near future. So, you know, I do have confidence now, and I know where I'm walking. You know, the path that has taken me here, and especially lived in Las Vegas the last 4 years. Boxing's given me that direction to know exactly what I want and how I'm going to get it. And that's a really great feeling when you can look at yourself in the mirror and know who you really are, and you're standing in your two feet, so to speak, because I think a lot of the times over the years I felt like, you know, you're a little bit beside yourself, you're not sure where you're going or what you're doing. And I do wake up every morning now and I know where I'm heading and what's about to happen.
Yeah, that's a beautiful feeling. You know, earlier this evening I got to interview a young man just signed by Golden Boy Promotions. And a lot of the sport, you know, they're like most people, social media warriors. They think they know it all because what they see on social media. So they questioned his signing to Golden Boy. But the thing that they don't realize is he had a 14-year amateur career.
And that's huge.
The only reason that he ended up turning pro was because he was getting ready to fight in the Olympics. Well, his birthday was one day shy of the cutoff date. One day shy. And he had already accrued every accolade that you could as an amateur. And, you know, on the interview that I had with him earlier, I told him, you know, it's kind of bittersweet, but it's a blessing. Because if you would have competed in the Olympics, then you wouldn't have been signing with Golden Boy Promotions yesterday, nor would you be on my show today. You know, our path is already given to us. Mm-hmm. We just have to persevere, and we have to deal with adversity and the struggles that come along with it. But, you know, I really want to ask you a question that I think you're articulate enough to understand and give me, you know, a true poignant answer. You know, I've asked Kung Lee, I've asked several legends of boxing and MMA, but I want to ask you, what does pride, passion, and perseverance truly mean to Kylie Fulmer?
I think it's so much. It's like, that's a really tough question. Boxing really does give you those tools, because if you don't have them, it's like, man, like, yeah, that's a deep question. But I just think you have to apply those to life in general, and it's without any of them, like, yeah, that's.
Hey, they don't call me the Barbara Walters for nothing. I told you you would get a good interview.
That's a deep question. Yeah, you did. But
sometimes
I feel like
it's hard to answer.
It is. Boxing has helped me accomplish all of those, you know, and it's not only, you know, with training and the things you do in life daily as a fighter, but I don't know. You've got me on that question because it's just so so much emotion running through me to even think about answering it, to be honest.
It's tough because when you live it, breathe it, and preach it,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to put into words. It truly is. And, you know,
yep.
I think the audience and my listeners get a full understanding of why that question is hard for you, because it's who you are. It's what
mm-hmm.
you're about. It's what you're created by. So, I mean, in life, there always is an answer to every question. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's just a simple complexity that, you know, we look at and we'll move on. You know, I think a great question to ask you in my mind and in my thought, and I think my listeners would like to get an answer in this too, is you've won the title, and to me,
mm-hmm.
I don't really think the belt truly means as much as you being in the sport, being in the artistry of boxing. I think that means more than that belt that you already hold. You know, I think the sport means more to you than that. So if you had to say we were starting the second chapter of Kylie Fulmer's life, and you were to put a paraphrase onto a piece of paper, what would that statement be for the beginning of the second chapter or the second aspect of Kylie Fulmer?
When you say the belt does mean more to me, it absolutely does. You've asked that perfectly, because the night I won that belt, it wasn't just about winning a belt. You know, it's about building a platform and building a legacy for myself after being a fighter. You know, like so much work went into winning that. It's not about the belt, like you said. It's about the self-satisfying achievement, knowing that you've accomplished your goals, and even ones that I thought were almost unrealistic. And the biggest highlight of that was to take that belt home to my mum and dad in Australia at Christmas time and hang it on my mum and dad's lounge room wall, and to see the smile on their face, because that's when it all hit home and I realised you have a massive life achievement here. You know, you have become the best of something, the best at something, and you committed to it, you know. So for me now, that the next chapter is for me to go out there and build a legacy, not only, you know, to keep fighting and to keep achieving and winning more belts and doing all that, but it's to build a legacy and a platform to stand on to help other people, especially females, realize that, yes, we can be great, and we should be getting paid the same amounts of money. We should be getting the same respect in the ring or the cage or whatever sport you decide to do. But we need to get up and make a stand and show other females out there that, you know, we can do it, and you can do whatever you want. So most people out there think, oh, you know, you're a fighter, you must be crazy. And the fact is, yes, I am crazy. I am crazy, and I know that, and I love it. I won't change. I'm happy to be crazy, because normal is boring as hell, you know. So I don't want to go through life and just be normality and just existing. I used to have that lifestyle where you live a white picket fence lifestyle. You know, you should be this and you should do that, but the hell with that. I was bored. So I went out there and, you know, showed – I'm showing people the real me and the power of self-belief and what we can do. So that's my purpose in fighting, and that's why I pull the gloves on every day. It's not only for me, but it's to show other people and other young kids and other young or females in general that to go out there and be whatever you want, because we can do it.
Amen to that. You truly can. And, you know, you brought up a relevant point. And, you know, I got to say it, because, you know, the equal pay. And I'm a firm believer in that, you know, because let's say Kylie Fulmer goes out and you're fighting on a card and you sell 1,000 tickets. You know, I'm just speaking hypothetically. Mm-hmm. And all those tickets that were sold were, you know, $300 a piece. Okay. And a male fighter goes out, sells the same amount of tickets. The promoter gets equal amount of money, even though you're a woman fighter. So therefore, why shouldn't you be entitled to equal pay? You know, so your point is very articulate. You know, I really like that because, you know, they're not saying, oh, well, the pay-per-view is $49.99 because there's a woman fighting on the main. No, they're going to charge you the $89.95 that they were going to charge you whether it's male or female. So why shouldn't a woman be justified and be given equal pay? You know, that's a tremendous response because I feel you on that. I agree with you on that. I think women are being given a disservice in the sport on all aspects in pay. But I think you're correct, and you're very adamant about it. And, you know, I got to tell you, I think you're right. You know, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but if you're selling tickets for the same price as the male fighters, don't you deserve equal pay, like you said? And I got to agree with you. You know, that's a tremendous point.
I think, fair enough if the guys do more rounds. Like, of course they're going to get more. Like, if you're doing more rounds, but most of us girls out there train our ass off, you know. Like, prime example, my teammate Christine, she just had a bare knuckle fight on the weekend. Yeah. An absolute warrior of the sport. We grind so hard every day, 3 times a day. We're in the gym doing everything, you know, the boys can do, we do. And if anything, you've got to do it more, you know. We have to prove ourselves. Christine goes out there, 2 girls, they have absolute killer fight. I really believe it was the fight of the night and one of the best female fights I've seen for a very long time. Those girls left it all in the ring, you know. And why shouldn't we be getting the same respect? And, you know, I think it is getting better, and it's definitely great we're getting the exposure. Like, you look at the tennis players now, those girls are getting, you know, they're fixing it, they're getting the same money. Some of the surfers, they're the same. It's only a matter of time until combat sports are coming up. You know, USC I know is improving. Boxing still has a lot of work to do. But I know, speaking for myself and Christine as well, we speak about it often, we want to be a part of that to help change it. You know, I think if we keep going the way we are and putting on great shows and taking fight of the night, you know, well, I don't see why not. It's just got to happen. And you know, it's time for people to, promoters especially, to start standing up and realizing, you know, that we all deserve it. So let's make it happen.
Oh, most definitely. And I'm surprised you didn't know this already, but, you know, I've known Christine since the early days of Muay Thai. Some of my fighters actually used to use a different coach in Las Vegas, and Christine was under one of them at one time. And mm-hmm. I met Christine many, many years ago. I shot her debut in Invicta, and I've interviewed her from day one in Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships. I think she's a tremendous warrior. You know, that's what, you know, what I was trying to emulate early in the show. You know, she was a, she calls herself the misfit. And, you know, there was a lot of things. We talk on a every other day basis. And, you know, she asked me, Don, what was the problem early in my career, do you think? And I said, because you went from gym to gym to gym, but once you got under Dewey Cooper, I just saw this absolute growth. I saw you become the person that you needed to be. And that's what his presence and knowledge does to people. And it instills this, you can't even put it into words what he instills into people, because he's tremendous. You know, I've met the man many times at different events. The man has fighters fighting in every promotion, every aspect in the world. And to be able to have a coach that thanks his fighters for training with him is the first in my lifetime, because I've never heard a coach say that and be adamant about it like Dewey Cooper is. You know, but the thing of it is, Christine a long time ago told me, you know, because she had posted a picture, and I had actually, you quite resemble another fighter, but in MMA, and I asked you, you know, I asked Christine, was that fighter? And she said, no, it was you. And she said, that's my girl, that's my homie. You know, so what was it like to be able to correlate that type of friendship, that type of relationship with another fighter in the sport that has the same drive, determination, and purpose as yourself?
Yeah, it was, you know, when Christine turned up to the gym, I still remember the first week, actually, she reached out and wanted to do some sparring because she was preparing for her first bare knuckle debut fight. And I'd been away to Australia, and I come back to the gym, and she popped her head in, and it was an instant friendship. You know, I seen her, and I had so much respect for her, because I know what it's like to walk into another person's, other fighter's territories, and get in and, you know, go to war. And the first time I ever pulled on a pair of gloves, and you know, Christine and I did, I think we did 5 rounds to start with, but it was a war. And I said, holy shit, like, this girl is really something else. You know, you can just see it in her eyes, and the way she not only, you know, shows herself as a fighter in the ring and in training, but out of the ring also. It was such a mirror version of myself, because you both have the same directions and goals and ambitions in life of why we fight. And she really is. She's one of my best mates now, and we've helped each other through multiple fights. She was there when I won the world title, and we still look back at the picture now and reflect on those, because, again, it's something no one can ever take away from us. You know, you can never break that bond of the special times you've not only had the 10 weeks of camp and going to war every day and pushing each other on the track, or, you know, we're doing big ASS crazy mountain runs from 2,000 to 10,000 feet, and you get to the top and you've only got to look at each other and know how much it hurt. But if one's down, another one's up, and it's the best thing, you know. Like, we've had absolute wars in that gym training, especially for her last fight. You know, every day we walk, we drag ourselves out of there because you're absolutely worn out. You leave it all in the ring and all in the gym until the next day. And she did exactly that in this last fight. You know, she gave it all. I believe she won. To answer your question, she's really a warrior, and she's helped me more than ways that I can even explain, or, you know, most people wouldn't even understand the attachment you get of another teammate that's walking on the same path, because it really is true when people say boxing's the loneliest sport in the world, because I believe that. But when you get a small handful, when you know you're walking together, like our team, and, you know, BKSS and what Dewey created for us there, it's a unique bond, that an unconditional bond that no one will ever break.
Yeah, almost definitely. You know, and before I get on with the interview, I'm going to ask you a couple more questions after this, and then we'll wrap things up. But, you know, I just want, because my show gets 300,000 plus live listens, you know, I want to let the sport know, and I know this for, you know, fact, it's public information. Christine has shared it already. You know, but most people don't really realize that in that fight, not only did she get fight of the night, I also think she won in a lot of aspects. But
definitely, yeah.
She went to war with a broken hand and two broken wrists.
Yeah.
And
she is...
still continued to fight. So
mm-hmm.
if that's not a definition of a warrior, then
yeah.
please fill me in, because I'm lost, because anybody that goes in there and, you know, continues to fight after breaking their hand and breaking both of their wrists is a warrior to me. You know, I had a buddy
yeah.
in the UFC that I interviewed last night. You know, the first, I think it's 17 seconds, he suffered a fractured orbital, and he went on to win the fight. And I can't even surmise the pain that he went through, you know, so
no.
I can't even. Christine's was like, ah, no. Nah. But, you know, Kylie, you're tremendous. What you've already done in the sport is to be commended, and you're a very righteous, you know, aspect. And I don't know, the way you speak, the articulation of the artistry of the sport is tremendous. But I do want to kind of ask a kind of a personal question. You don't have to answer it if you don't want to. I
mm-hmm.
give my guests that opportunity. But I just want to take you, even though we know your career is not about the belt, I want to go back to that moment that you handed that belt to your mom and your dad.
Yeah.
What was that feeling like? And what was your mindset and takeaway, and how proud were your parents of you when you handed them that belt to show them that you can accomplish and you can succeed? What was that moment like between you and your parents?
You know, it's the best feeling, honestly, I've ever had in my life. It was, I think, coming home on that plane. I'm just going to go back. So 10 years ago, I asked myself a question. I was, like, not happy in life, you know, and I was looking around, and I thought this weirdest question popped in my mind, and I thought, you know what, if you were to die tomorrow, would you be content with what you've done in life? And I was, what, 27, 28 at the time, and I looked around, and I thought, hell no, like, you've done nothing, you know, like, you don't even know your real identity, you've done no travel, like, yeah, things are cool, like, you know, you seem asset well, but I felt so poor, you know, I didn't even know what I wanted or where I wanted to go in life. And when I won that belt last year, I was flying home on the plane, and randomly that same question popped in my mind, and I thought, if this plane was to go down now, would you be content? And I looked around and thought, hell yeah, of course I would. You know, I've done so much the last 10 years. I've filled up 5 passports with the struggle, you know, like, we can go through life and you can live in your comfort zone and just be existent. Or I really truly don't, but I believe that when you do jump out of your comfort zone and you are uncomfortable and you know, you stop worrying about materialistic and you just, you know, you can't even put a price on those things. I've used boxing as a tool to travel the whole world, create my identity, and meet and do so many amazing things. And to give that belt to my mum and dad was just a big tick to confirm that all of those hard times, all of that struggle, the sacrifices I made was worth every goddamn minute of it. Because, you know, we're here for a good time, not a long time. And you just got to jump. You just got to go for it and make shit happen in life. Because if we sit around and you're just wishing or should have or could have, that's something I'm definitely not going to do. I know I've given everything. And, you know, that's the first of many belts. There's going to be more to come. And it's just going to be another highlight of my life for each one that I do win, to accomplish other goals and things in my life. So it really was. It was the best feeling in the world to give it to them, because, you know, my mum and dad, you know, they're the ones that were there every time you rock bottom, and just keep going, you know, keep pushing. You've you've gone too far now just to stop here. You just got to keep going. And that's what I did, and that's what I'm going to keep doing.
That's tremendous. That's a beautiful story. You know, I'm truly honored you came on the show tonight. I have one more question to ask you. I know I've probably taken, you know, too much of your time already, but...
Not at all. I love talking to you. It's been awesome. Thank you.
You know, it's kind of a hypothetical, deep question. When it's all said and done, how would Kylie Fulmer like to be remembered?
When it's all said and done, just in general, I'm going to go out with a bang. I'm going to leave my mark on this earth, you know. Like, I'm going to go out knowing that I, you know, that I have no fear, taking chances, and I've got no regrets, you know. I'm going to keep moving forward and keep succeeding, and hopefully I can inspire other people out there to do the same thing. I would rather be asset poor but soul millionaire all day of the week. I wouldn't swap it. You know, I was asset well, and you know, I had the you know, the white picket fence lifestyle, and you've got the 9-to-5 job, and you know, the cars or whatever. But I wouldn't replace it. I really think that you, as a fighter, it makes you go into the trenches. You do go rock bottom, and you might be asset poor as hell as a fighter, but eventually when you work it out and you do start getting and seeing the rewards and everything's starting to pay off, I've realized that you can have both, you know, but you just got to find that balance and keep pushing until you get there to have it all, because I'm definitely going to have it all. Then I want to help other people achieve the same thing.
You're already a champion, tenfold. I mean, you truly are. You know, I'm glad we were able to make this interview happen, because you're an inspiration, you know, and you could tell you've been around Dewey. You could tell
he's
you've
a very
been
cool
Dewey.
Dude. Yeah, yeah. I think what are they? Yeah, it's definitely you become what you surround yourself around. That's for sure. When I turned up to Vegas with I had a backpack and $1,000 when I first flew into America, and my mentality when I first got here is I thought, damn, I'm going to come out here. You know, I need to do better. I want to train with the Mexicans, and I'm going to learn how to knock people out, because it's the only way I'm going to win and not get ripped off. That was my mentality, you know. And I come out here and things just, like you say, destiny is served. I really think your path is made. You've just got to... Sometimes we take detours and wrong turns to get there, which I've done a hell of a lot of that. But eventually it all evens out. And I found, you know, walked into meeting Floyd Sr. and he changed my life and kept me in Vegas and put me on path to meet Dewey, which I definitely know was, you know, one of a massive change in my life. And he's helped me so much, like I said before, physically, mentally, and spiritually, you know. And it doesn't matter, you know, at the moment, like I said to you earlier, I'm currently living in LA, and I've had to relocate down here for reasons inside and out of the ring. We might, you know, might not be my coach at the present moment, but he's my family. And he'll always be there for me, and same with my team, you know. So I'm just fortunate to be out here with Dewey's full support, and you know, them knowing that I've got to better myself for my future and my career, and you know, get my visa and things sorted so I can make a life here around boxing and after boxing, because that's another one of my major goals in fighting is to, and actually I'll throw that in there too, it's when I won that belt, it wasn't any fighting for the belt, it was fighting for my freedom to stay here in America. People don't see that side of it, and that's something I really love to share, is because it's damn hard, you know, like I've had 4 years of being in here in and out every 3 months on visa runs and trying to secure just that piece of paper to have the freedom to stay here. And I expressed the same thing with the team in a message before I left, that never take for granted what we've got and the family environment that you've got around with BKSS, because a lot of people would kill to be in our team, and you know, it's hard doing it on yourself. It's hard doing it with a team, but imagine without a team. You know, you've got to have those people around you that drag you up, and I'm very grateful for Dewey and the team for the times that we spent together, and I know we'll carry them all through regardless of whether I'm in Vegas or you know, out here now under the guidance of Justin Fortune at Fortune Boxing Gym in Hollywood, training hard and we're still moving forward, you know. So I can't wait to share it with Justin and also, you know, my family out there in Vegas and BKSS.
Oh, that's definitely you. You truly are a tremendous warrior, and, you know, this sport was designed for someone like you and your walk. You know, Kylie, I truly appreciate you coming on the show tonight and sharing yourself with the world. I told you my show was a little bit different than most. And
I love it. It's real. It's real, you know, and that's you don't get that a lot anymore, Don, so I appreciate it. It's nice to be able to just talk facts and just talk the truth, because at the end of the day, my biggest, you know, way I present myself in life is treat people how you want to be treated and hope it comes back. And it's meeting cool people like you and the people I have on this journey that make you appreciate it. And every day's a bonus. So thank you for having me.
I'm honored, and this is the first of many. My show is your show. That's why we call it The Fighter's Voice, because, you know, the sport is too many Wikipedia or Tapology shows, and you don't get the essence of who the person really is. You know, people take for granted, and they think what they see on social media and television truly is who the fighter defined is, and it's not. You know, so I created a platform, and I wanted the people to see who the fighters really were and show them that they're no different than anybody else. They just have a different job, a different path, and different admirations in life. But at the end of the day, we all bleed the same, you know. And I think it's showed the world a greater appreciation for what the sport is and what you do. And they don't look at you so much as a barbaric warrior, but they get the essence of who you are as a human and who you are as a person in your everyday walk. And that's what life truly is about. You know, my friend, I'm going to hand the mic to you. And the people that created you, you know, the aspects of social media, or just anything else that you would like to add to the program, the floor is yours, my friend.
Thanks, Don. Basically like to thank all the people that have been a part of my journey. There's so many, and it's so hard to thank everybody, because I basically traveled the world with a backpack and a massive heart to be better every day the last 8 years. And I want to just say thanks to everybody that's been a part of it. Obviously, you know, shout out to my mum and dad, all my friends and family and supporters back home in Australia and around the world. My team, BKSS, out there in Vegas. I'm missing you guys heaps, but be back in a few weeks to come in for a weekend and catch up with everybody. I've got a family also out in Las Vegas, the Heiners. I've been blessed to be, you know, a part of their family and live under their roof the last few years out in Vegas, giving me a great life and many, many good memories out there. And also to all my sponsors as well. You know, I've got a big one that's a mentor, David Harper from Geo Drill out at Accra in Ghana. he's been with me all the way. This, you know, I can't go off with all the sponsors because I don't want to forget any, but yeah, I just Justin Fortune as well here in LA for helping me relocate and pursue things that I've got going on down here in inside and out of the ring. Thanks to him and his wife for having me and making me feel welcome and a part of their family down here to help the transition. And of course you for having me on the show, but thank you. And thank you, Master Nick out at One Kicks too, for having us out at his gym. He's a great guy, and his family too, you know, all the One Kicks people out there. They've made things, made my time great out in Vegas. And yeah, just shout out to everyone, all my teammates, and I look forward to sharing, you know, the next chapters. We're ready to write some new chapters, and they're going to be exciting ones. We've got lots in place and many great things happening. So stay tuned, everyone, and I can't wait to take things to the next level and really go for it.
Most definitely. You know, my friend, it's been an honor. Now, where can my listeners find you on social media? Because, you know, a lot of people that listen to my show like to follow the fighters that intrigue them.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I've just got basically my Instagram is Kylie_Fulmer. And my Facebook page, I think it's Killer Kylie Fulmer. And yeah, they're the main two, really. That's about it. Stay tuned, because there's another great one too. Well, you'll be able to follow me on is Athlete Hub. They're about to debut their new app soon, coming up. It's a sports media app, and it's going to have a lot of boxing stuff on there and really cool things. So I'll be sharing that link on my page anyway. But it's going to be great for all us fighters to connect and network together to help each other with sponsorship and different things going on. So I'll share that soon when it launches.
I'll most definitely do that. You know, it's tremendous. I love this interview, you know, and just to let you know that the link that I sent you is, it will never die. I archive my links. I don't delete them like any other show. The link is still shareable after we finish our interview. So if you want to go share it on your page or share it with family,
awesome.
Yeah, you can do that. I believe memories should be kept forever. And that's how life is. But, you know, I wish the best of luck to you. You truly have made a difference in the sport. You made a difference in my life and on my show. And I'm sure my listeners are very intrigued and will follow you. I wish you the best of luck. And when you're ready to fight, you just have Coach Dewey get a hold of me, and we'll bring you on, and we'll talk your next fight, and we'll share you again with the world.
Will do. Thank you so much. And I look forward to sharing the next few up and coming months with you. It's going to be awesome. And yeah, thanks to all the listeners out there for tuning in and all your support. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's our pleasure. You have a good night, and God bless, champ. Thank you for,
thank
for
you,
doing
Don.
The show.
Thanks
it's been
so much.
A true pleasure. All right.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you very much. You too. Take
You're
care.
Welcome. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Kylie Fulmer, WBF Intercontinental Super Bantamweight Champion of the World. You know, I was taken back by the interview. Truly charismatic, humbling young lady from Australia that has truly come up the hard way. If you listen to her words, she was 0-7 as an amateur, stepped up in the pro rankings, and then she became 7-0 and became a world champion. You know, if that isn't a rags-to-riches story, I don't know what is. You know, I got to tell you, that right there says a lot about the warrior, the mentality, and the aspects of the coaches and the people that has, you know, truly instilled knowledge in her. You know, much props to Coach Dewey Cooper for, you know, creating this aspect in this interview this evening. I want to thank my sponsors, Finished MMA with Juan Martinez, Cut Man for Hire with Jacob Stitch-Ran and Juan Ramirez, Bite Me Mouth Guards with Joe Rice, and the 86ers.net with Alfred Freddy. On that note, man, it was a hell of a crazy day in radio. You know, from, I can't even tell you how many shows I've done today, but I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. To each and every one of you, have a good night, and God bless.
Yeah. Can you hear me? Hey. My G killing with the
West, hey.
Hey, let's show them how to do it. Stoves. Hard stand. Cheese. Relity. Come on, let's kill them on this one. Let's show these youngsters how to do it, yeah. Cause they doing it wrong. We doing it right. Hey. Hey. Shout out Hard Stand, it's coming from the heart, fam. But that nigga Daniel, we pull up in the dark van. 18 hopping out, no bed like we parachuters. Minivan hopping out. I got a parachute, I call them both Yosemite Sam. They got a pair of Rugas, iron sharp and fine. Yeah, but first you gotta force your fire. Ever been back in the corner and been forced to fight? We're shooting at your roof, we ain't aiming for your tires. Yeah, we're putting the booth all day, all night. Yeah, we never tired. This ain't a homicide, homie, be cool. Just a lyrical assassination in the booth. Get it? Assassination bloop. Then I blew the top off of the link.